Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We have now concluded our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And tomorrow we're going to move into chapter 8, but I wanted to take one more broadcast and just make some parting comments and observations about this chapter, which deals with marriage, deals with issues of romance, deals with divorce, deals with singleness and remaining single. Deals with an awful lot of things that pertain to our world today, even though some of the things were certainly different in that day, and there were various customs and culture that were not exactly the same, for sure, as what we have in our day. Nevertheless, the principles that are taught in this chapter are widely applicable and are very helpful, and no doubt ought to be more carefully studied by Christians than they generally are. After all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we need all of these things that God has put in the Bible, or else He wouldn't have put them there. There are some things that I sometimes, in my lifetime, I must confess, I have wondered why is that there, but I can assure you that even if I don't understand why it's there, I'm confident that God has a wise purpose in putting it there, and in most cases, if I will take a little more time to think about it, to study it, to analyze it carefully, I can begin to see the reason why anything and everything that is included in Scripture has been placed there by the Holy Spirit of God. But certainly I have no trouble understanding why 1 Corinthians 7 is in the Bible. And so we'll wrap it up on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, November 1. And many thanks for not forgetting that we can't do this unless we received financial help from people just like you. Well, let me point out a few things. Let's first take up the subject of love and marriage. And I'm going to say some things that will probably be shocking to you, but I say them based upon my study of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and my observation that in this entire chapter on marriage, love is mentioned nowhere. What do you make of that? Now, I hasten to add that the concept of love within marriage is not absent from the Bible. You'll find it in Ephesians chapter 5, for example. Husbands, love your wives. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You'll also find it in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, where the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. So yes, it is in the Bible. And of course, we have whole sections of the Old Testament given to the concept of love and romance in marriage. What else do you take away from the Song of Solomon? What else do you learn about Jacob and Rachel and so forth. There's a lot of that in the Bible, so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying, isn't it interesting and I think instructive that here is an entire chapter devoted to the subject of marriage, 40 verses that deal with marriage, many questions that are raised and answered regarding marriage, and not one time in the entire chapter does the Apostle Paul mention love, as if that's really, really important, as if there would be more love between couples, then many of these problems wouldn't happen. He doesn't even bring that up. So what are we to make of that? What I've said so far is obviously true, but the question, what does that mean? Why is that so? Of course, is subject to, what should I say? It's subject to opinion because we're not told why. It's not there, but chapter 8 doesn't go on to say, now, by the way, the reason I didn't mention love in chapter 7 is because of this or that. Nope, you're not going to find that there. But what I do take away from that, the fact that love isn't mentioned here, is that so many of the time our modern American concepts of romantic love are out of balance with the Bible. I don't want to get into that too much, but our ideas of romantic love are generally not sound. They certainly haven't produced a very solid society with good, strong marriages in our day. And what I'm suggesting to you is this. Before marriage, love is helpful, but, and this is going to shock many of you, it's not necessary. But after marriage, it is commanded and it is necessary. Now think that through. So many times we get that exactly backwards in our day. We think that the most important question that a couple considering marriage should answer is, do you love one another? Do you really love him? Do you really love her? And that concept is reinforced by much modern entertainment, many of the television programs and movies that we watch or don't watch, as the case may be, because there's a lot there that's not worth watching, to be sure. But so many times the concept is that if you can just find out, if you can listen to your own heart and figure out if you really love this person, then that answers the question about whether you ought to get married. And sometimes there's even a lot of drama involved in that. Two people are planning to get married, they think they are in love, but it comes right down to it. One of them says, I don't think I love this person, so I'm not going to go through with it. Well, that may be a wise decision, but I don't know that it's based upon the right question. And what I'm suggesting to you, particularly since part of this chapter deals with the question of arranged marriages and whether a husband should give his daughter in marriage or not, suggests to me that though love may be helpful, before marriage it's really not necessary, but after marriage it is. In other words, once you get married, then you have a responsibility, husbands, to love your wives, and you have to work very hard at it. And after you get married, wives, you have a responsibility to love your husbands. And that's why in the book of Titus, Paul tells Titus to instruct the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands, because that's not always easy, but that is necessary for a good marriage, but it's necessary to cultivate and develop a loving relationship after marriage. It may or may not be necessary beforehand. Now, again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not advocating that you should marry somebody that you don't love. But what I'm suggesting is that the idea of this romantic marriage, this romantic love that determines everything about whether or not we get married is way overblown based upon what I'm seeing in the Bible. Romantic love is, in our societies today, is highly emotional, but emotions are not what guides Christians. Truth must lead, emotions must follow. And so I'll leave it at that. There are other things that can be said, but I need to move on. I do think there's something else that's indicated in this chapter, and that is, in a strange way, there are some indications here that help us understand the importance of the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. Now, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. So we take that as a given. We know it's true. We also know, according to 2 Peter 1:21, that all of the authors of the books that we have in our Bible spoke as they were borne along by the Spirit of God. Therefore, we know that we have in the Bible a word from God Almighty. In fact, we have the words of God Almighty that have been given to us. A word that is infallible and inerrant because it comes from God. God is not capable of giving us anything that is erroneous. And it is wonderfully preserved by the Holy Spirit of God to ensure against harmful errors. But here's what we must understand. The words accurately represent the author, but not all the words are true. Now, please don't jump to a conclusion when I say that, but I think you'll understand what I mean in a moment. They're all true in one sense, but they're not all true in another sense. They're true in this sense. Anything that the Bible says is true. For example, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Is that true? Is what true? Is it true that there are people who say that? Is it true that there are fools who say that? Is it true that anybody who says that there is no God is a fool? Yes. Is it true that there is no God? Of course not. That's not what the Bible is saying. But do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Is the Bible saying there is no God? No. But those words are in the Bible. There is no God. The Bible said it. What do you mean it's not true? And critics love to get a hold of things like that, to play with the minds of God's people, and to justify their own unbelief. So we've got to understand what inspiration means. Inspiration means that we have an accurate record of divine instruction. We have an accurate record of divine commands. We have an accurate record, in some cases, of the words of fools. We have an accurate record of what they said, but that doesn't mean that what they said is true. And getting to what we find in this chapter that causes me to say all these things, sometimes we have an accurate record of wise advice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's a pretty large portion of the chapter that Paul makes it very clear. This is not the command of God. This is not the word of Christ. This is my opinion. This is my advice. And when we have that, what are we to make of it? What we have is a guaranteed accurate record of Paul's wise advice. This chapter preserves accurately, truthfully, what Paul advised, but it does not ensure that Paul's advice is the word of God in the same sense that the commands of Christ and the words of an apostle, when it's not advice, but it is God's word, is the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, that's it for this chapter. Come back tomorrow as we move into chapter 8. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.